those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the believer now, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if he doesn't live in you, he's not controlling your action, your attitude, your words, and your behavior. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
From the woman caught in adultery to those of us who have committed to follow Christ, the Bible tells us that we are to be holy just as the Lord our God is holy. This is Jerry G. Martin with The Light of the World, and I encourage you to come and walk with us as we share these messages on living a holy life.
To some, the very word holiness brings up images of long dresses and no makeup, no pants for women. Bring up in holiness, it was people who don't smoke or chew or go out with girls who do. There's no drinking of alcohol, no hanging out at the club, no worldly music. We couldn't even listen to the Temptations. Beauty's only skin deep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let alone James Brown, Papa got a brand new bag. And then when Rufus Thomas came out with Funky Chicken, you can't be saved and listen to that. Oh, no, sir, no, sir. There were some people who were so holy they would call your television a hellavision. And that was back in the days when even married folks on sitcoms didn't sleep in the same bed. They had twin beds, one for Ozzy and one for Harriet. They were sleeping, they go to bed with his suit on. They didn't want to give no hint of anything going on. Now they can call it the hellavision. Somebody had a vision of what was coming. But let me talk to you about what holy and holiness is. The word holy in various forms occur more than 600 times in the Bible. Must be important. The entire book of Leviticus is devoted to that subject. All of the laws and all of the rituals and all of the sacrifices had to do with holy living. The idea of holiness is woven all through the scripture. In the book of Revelation, what are the angels singing? Holy, holy, holy. In the book of Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temples, and the seraphim and the cherubim were singing, holy, holy, holy. That's only, they got one song when you come into God's presence. Holy. The first use of the word in scripture is in the book of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. He set it apart. He called it the Sabbath. That day was different, separate, and unique from the other days. It was reserved for him. You want to know what holy is? Separate, unique, different, reserved for him. I'm setting this one aside. It's going to be the Sabbath. I'm going to take that off. It's going to be a day of worship, day of reverence. So what does it mean to be holy? It is to be separate from sin and therefore consecrated to God. It is to be morally blameless. The word holy signifies separation to God and the conduct befitting those who say they are separate. You say you're separate, you're holy, you belong to God, and they say there is some conduct that goes along with that when you say that. You can't be telling everybody off and giving everybody a piece of your mind every time something goes wrong. Listen, peace of mind is hard to come by. If you got a piece, you better keep it. I'll give you a piece of my mind. You better keep all of your mind. To live a holy life is to live a life in conformity with the moral precepts of the Bible, in contrast to the sinful ways of the world. If the people of God and the people in all of the churches would live a holy life, there would be a big difference in the way things happen in the world. I would say if everybody who say they were saved would stop going to the men's club, they would shut down and go out of business. If everybody who say they were saved and living a holy life would stay out of the liquor store, they would shut down. If everybody who say they were saved would stop looking at pornography and stop buying it, they would shut down. But they don't, because those who say they are saved are not living a holy life. We have compartmentalized our life of Christianity and said, I'm saved, so I go to church, and then I have my own life. I got my church life, and I got my own life. You can't live in two lives. Because when God judges you, he ain't going to judge one, and half of you ain't going to go to heaven. The other half ain't going to go to hell. Everything going to hell. You and your church life. One theologian had it right 50 years ago when they said, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Paul gave clear instructions about living the holy life to the church at Ephesus. Apparently, the members did not have a clear understanding of what it meant to be saved and sanctified, which is exemplified by a holy life. He broke it down clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to take a few minutes to just give you some details, because I can say you need to live holy, and then say, well, what do you mean by that? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, Paul again says, you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. A lot of times we don't have a good appreciation for what has occurred when the Lord brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He brings us out of darkness. He gives us a new place. He places us. The Bible even tells us he seals us with his Holy Spirit. And he stamped us holy when he saved us. And now he says, start to live like it and start to work like it. You might not feel holy, but you're holy. That's why he said you got to change your mind and you got to have a renewing of your mind, because your mind ain't going to feel holy when you get saved. Your mind doesn't get saved. Your spirit man gets saved. So your mind going to have to be transformed, but you need to know who you are. If you were born and your family were told you that you were rich and you have an inheritance, you know what? You're going to start acting like it and walking like it when you're young. All you got to do is keep telling that child who he is. That's why it's important to point the way to your children. Don't tell them they're going to be dumb. They're not going to ever amount to nothing. They're not going to ever accomplish anything. Tell them that they're great, that God has a good plan for them. And tell them who they are, that they can accomplish great things. Stop downing them and telling them what they're not. Tell them who they are. But God tells us who we are, but we need to understand that and begin to walk that way. In that passage, Paul says, put off your old self. Now, I want you to know that the Holy Ghost ain't gonna put off your old self. You got to put it off. The Lord saved you and he gives you the power to put it off, but you got to put it off. Put off your old self with regard to your former way of life. The Lord knew what you were doing before you got saved. He knows that. He knows our lifestyle. He knows we were lying and stealing and cheating and fornicating and adultering and doing all kind of things. He knows that. But he saved us from that, and he says, okay, now that you're saved, put that off. The difference is, before you were saved, you couldn't put it off, because that nature was in control of you. Now that you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you waiting for you to say no to those things. And when you say no, the Holy Spirit rises up in you and tell the devil, did you hear the man? The man said no, so go. The problem is, the reason you have victory, because you're not saying no. You're saying, you know, the Lord know my heart. You know, the Spirit is willing, but what? Everybody know that scripture. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the first thing he tells you to do is put off your old self. Where are you at right now? You still got some of your old self riding with you? Well, put it out. Stop the car and say, get on out. And some of you don't even need to stop the car. Just need to throw them out while the car's going. Once you stop the car, there's a conversation going on. Don't stop the car. Just open the door while he's riding and just throw him on out and let him roll down the highway. You ain't got time for this no more. Just throw him on out, you know. That's like a young lady trying to get rid of a guy. She's telling him, I don't want to talk to you no more. He said, well, wait a minute, baby. Why you don't want to talk to me? You're just not right no more. You're not right for me. But what's right for you? What's right for you? I can be right for you. So long as you keep talking, he's in. He called back. I got something to say to you. Well, what you got to say? No. That's the way the old man is. You can't be entertaining. You just got to say, go. Pull off your old self. He said, that's your job. That's your responsibility. The Lord's not going to pull him off for you. The Lord has already scared him off. Now you got to pull him off. His power will rise up in you, but he's just waiting to hear what you say. You keep saying, well, maybe. No, you got to say no. And you can't say no like, you know, again, on this analogy with men and women. You know, they say, well, I said no. He's trying to say, baby, can we get together? You know, he's all up on you, breathing all on you. You say, you be saying no while you're still taking your clothes off. You can't be saying that. No, you know, no, you shouldn't be getting this close. No, no. There's no, and then there's no. And he knows which one is which. The devil knows which one is which. He knows when you said no and you're still looking. And when you said, I said no, in the name of Jesus. Put Jesus' name in there and see what he do. Get thou away from here. Use the King James Version on. Get thou away from hence. Secondly, Paul says in this passage, and be made new. You pull off the old man and be made new in the attitude of your mind. Change your mindset and decide that since you have been pointed in a new direction, I'm going in a new direction. Listen, have you ever made up your mind and said, I'm going to live holy? If you never said, I'm going to live holy, then you want to make up your mind and say, I'm going to live holy. If that's not in your mind that I'm going to live holy, you're just kind of bouncing around trying to figure out how life is. You're just responding to things if you haven't made up your mind. That's like somebody who says, I'm always broke, but you never made up your mind you're going to save any money. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to save some money. Then what's I'm going to do next? Every time I get my paycheck, I'm going to set aside. I'm a $5. I'm going to do something. I'm going to start somewhere. But I'm making up my mind. I'm not going to stay broke like that. I've been broke. I'm going to make up my mind. Well, that's the same thing you got to do about living holy. I'm making up my mind. I'm going to live holy. We used to sing a song. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere now. Anytime we say, I'm going to live so. Nobody's thinking about that. I'm going to live that way now. Yes. If you haven't made up your mind you're going to live that way, guess what? He's going to be rolling up on you. Set your course. God already set your course. But you have the responsibility. What's your mindset about where you're going? And then he says, now put on the new self. Put on the new self. This is the process of Christian growth and maturity. I'm going to put on my new self as I read the word of God and get the information about how to live. I'm putting on my new self. We're not just reading the Bible because we don't have anything else to do. This is our nourishment. This is spiritual food. This is what helps us to grow. This is our vitamins. This is our nutrition. This is what we grow on. We grab the word of God and we chew on it. We meditate on it. We obey it. We begin to walk after it. Then we can begin to grow. We don't just throw our Bible in the back of the car till next Sunday and then grab it on the way out of the car and come on into church. You know the pastor going to say, hold up your Bible. That's not what it's for. This is instruction book for living. And holy living in that. Put on the new self. We know when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. You're brand new. You don't know everything you need to know. I know you don't know how to walk right and walk holy before the Lord. That's a process. We understand that. Everybody's not in the same place. You have newborn believers. You have immature believers. And you should have mature believers. But you ought to be growing and pulling off the old man and then putting on the new man as you go forward. It begins with the new heart and the renewed mind. And it continues with obedience to the word of God about how we should live. He said, our new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are created to be like God. That's a tall order. To walk like God, to be like Christ. Let the same mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The same mind, the same attitude, the same understanding. In fact, we ought to be Christ-like anyway. What do you think? Paul went on, as I go back forward to Ephesians 4:25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he might have something to share with those in need. So what does he say? Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me just break it down for you. Stop lying. Some of us, we need to start with that. Okay, I ain't lying no more, and I ain't lying about that either. Secondly, don't let your anger cause you to sin. And then he says, stop stealing. Income tax time is coming up. Stop stealing. You know, do it right. God's going to still bless you. Do it right. Don't take it over to nobody to talk about how much money they can get you back, and then you're going to be calling me and say, Pastor, will you pray? The IRS is all over me. No, do it right. Then verse 29, he says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now listen, here's something I know. We all know this. We all heard this. Those of whom have been saved, and maybe you've been in church, you all heard this. But when it comes down to everyday practice, we don't even want to practice that, because you hear too many folks in the church talking about folks who are not, and it's not wholesome. You forgot about this? I don't want to be spreading nothing, Pastor. Well, I say, well, don't spread it. Is it going to build them up? Is it wholesome? Well, don't spread it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. He started getting in details. You want to live holy? Well, start doing this. No unwholesome talk. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. See, that can be a sermon on each one of these topics. Get rid of all the bitterness, the rage, and the anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive one another. It's clear that we have a personal responsibility for our walk of holiness. It's our responsibility. God has called every believer to a holy life. He's called every believer to a holy life. There are no exception to that call. It's not a call just to pastors and evangelists, apostles and prophets and teachers. It's every believer. Every Christian of every nation, whether rich or poor, educated or unlearned, influential or unknown, is called to be holy. The Christian barber and hairdresser, the Christian lawyer and plumber, the Christian stay-at-home mother, we're all called to be holy. This call to be holy is based on the fact that God himself is holy. God doesn't want unholy things in his presence. Did you know that? Are you planning on going to heaven? All he wants in his presence are those things that have been made holy and those who are. And because God is holy, he requires that we be holy. Now, many Christians today have what we call a cultural holiness. We adapt to the character and behavior patterns of other Christians around us. Now, how many of you have been saved for a long time? Maybe you grew up in church as a child. You can recognize this. How many of you remember when even the church grounds were holy? The church grounds were holy. And then you would say to folk, no, you can't do that. You're on the church ground. They ain't holy no more. Because the cultural holiness said, oh yeah, we're just in church. We'll cuss you out in the parking lot. How many of you believe when you couldn't come up in this area up here behind the pulpit, the kids couldn't run up here, anybody would snatch you. And then you better not look at them, parent. They'll snatch you too. No, you come out from up there. You can't play up there. No, you can't do that. Well, what happened to that? Nothing's holy no more. Nothing's sacred anymore. What happened? That's cultural holiness. It's just a building. You don't remember when God says to Moses, take off your shoes. That's holy ground. Wherever I am, that's holy. Take off your shoes, man. That's holy ground you're standing on. So we come to church. We want to just do things in the church. We're not even spiritual. We're not saved. I'm going to help the ministry. This ministry don't need no unsaved and unholy help. We need holy folk. We need holy folks singing in the choir. We need holy folks leading worship. We need holy folks on the drums and the piano and the organ. I ain't going to bring nobody in here just because they're talented and can play. We'll be Church of Christ and sing a cappella before I do that. This is a holy place. And we are holy people of God. As the Christian culture is more or less holy than everybody get less holy. But God has not called us to be like the folk around us. He's called us to be like him. Here's what I want you to do today as I close. I want you to take personal responsibility for where you are right now. If you've not decided in your life that, you know, I'm going to live a holy life, I need to find out more about that. It just simply begins with, I want to be all that God says that I am. When, as I read the Bible and God asks me to practice, what he asked me to do, that's what I want to do. What he asked me to be, that's what I want to be. I want to consider him in my life. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's the Lord of my life. I want to worship him with my life, my lifestyle. I'm not playing church. I'm not two people. I'm one person at church, another person at the house. I'm all in, if you want to put it in today's terminology. Are you all in? Well, holiness is being all in. Holiness is not what you wear. Holiness is your lifestyle. If you're going to say you serve God, get all in. And I'm going to tell you, when you're all in, the blessings flow a whole lot better in your life. Do you want to be to the place where he'll say of you, like he said of Abraham, you are a friend of God. We have that kind of relationship. We're just that close. You need to decide, I'm going to live holy, and I will obey God in all areas of my life. Be holy, because God who called you is holy. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you today. We praise you. We bless you for what you have done for us. You brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for your great love towards us. We thank you, Lord, that the commands, the laws, the rules that you've given us to live by are not to restrict or to restrain us, but to set us free, to be all that you have for us and to receive all the blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for your divine power. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our disobedience. Forgive us for our lack of understanding of what you require of us. Father, I thank you. There are people in this place right now who said, I want to live a holy life before the Lord.
Many of us have things going on in our lives that if brought before the Lord, we would be guilty. The good news is that Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you, but he will tell us that his grace is sufficient and his forgiveness is available to us, but we are to go and sin no more. You may have asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life. The question is he the Lord of your life? If you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, invite him. Then determine that you will walk with him and allow him to use your life to reach others. This is Jerry G. Martin. If you would like us to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ or for any of your prayer needs, call us right now at 281-964-1393. 281-964-1393. To listen to this message again, you can do so by going to our podcast at The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. You can join us on our Sunday morning services online at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Or you can join us in person each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road. We'd love to have you to come out and join with us as Pastor Jackie is sharing great messages that will help you to grow and help you to be all that God wants you to be. For those of you who are looking for books and Bibles or church supplies, we have the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. For more information, call 281-441-2885. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.